The minhag today, we're talking about people are renting apartments, people are renting out apartments, stuff like that. So the minhag today, between the renters and the, what's it called? Landlords?
Yeah.
Right? That every fixing she puts that happens in the house, right, that it has to do with maintaining the house, right? The person who owns the place, right, he has to do it. It's maintaining the apartment. Okay?
Except for
the things that happen because of the use, not normal things, stuff that happened because of the use of the renter. Okay? If stuff happened because that he used it in the wrong way, he did things in the apartment, that's why stuff went wrong, he used a wrong voltage of electricity, a machine in the thing, and he blew out the house, and now there's a big fixing to do.
But
it's also maintaining the house, but he's not the owner of the house is not responsible for this, the renter is responsible for this.
Let's say like light bulbs are the person who lives there. Right,
right? Yeah, obviously.
So what category is that? I mean, like regular use, right? Regular
yeah, use. But he's not he could give you an apartment without lights.
Right, the landlord could give you that.
But
right.
He can't give an apartment without electricity.
Right.
Or without pipes, right?
Like,
without a toilet, he won't give you an apartment. So
in America, let's say here, with plumbing issues. So like usually, it's on the person who's living there.
No.
It's not the volunteer.
Depends what type of plumbing.
Right. If the renter clogged the toilet, it's his fault.
Right.
Put stuff
right.
in the toilet.
If there's things that always happen in the house because of the, okay, not because of something specific that he did. That's the regular use that he's doing it, and stuff went wrong. It's the owner's. The owner is responsible for that. Okay. Except my owner. Except my owner. He's not responsible for anything. He said, "You pay me 400 shekels less than everyone else, and you deal with it." Yeah. For example, let's say he did the. There was a clogging up. Right. He has to clean up. Right. But there was also pieces to change because of that, or pieces to change. So the renter is responsible for the clogging up, for paying the how much does it cost just to open a clog, right, a stima, and the owner of the house is responsible for the pieces which are bought. That which is part of the house, the owner is responsible for. Dirat chura shenozdil b'tocha mikshen mishkayemet b'tilu b'kirotea. If someone rented out an apartment and rain is coming in or the wall is getting wet like mine.
Mine are very wet.
Yeah. The midada maskir mitayev bayot, the maskir mitayev bayot lo dikhoi la shiksa. If the renter, the landlord takes care of the situation, he the person takes care of the situation immediately, so the renter is not allowed to leave and say, no, it's not what I wanted, and I'm not pretending I'm not allowed to leave. He has to, even if he leaves, he has to continue paying the rent. He can't pay the thing. Okay. But if the landlord does not take care of the apartment and what he needs to do it, right? Or the people that he hired didn't do a good job and can't use two of the rooms of the house or whatever. Yeah. He could continue living in the apartment, but he could take off from the rent. How much does an apartment with one room less cost? And pay him less.
Okay. We had to literally move out of our apartment because of
and the if a person has to leave the apartment, okay, he doesn't have to pay any extra. Like Yosef had to leave because of the rats. So he doesn't have to continue paying. And the lady would agreed over there.
But is it a reasonable time frame? Like, let's say she says, you know, give me a week to fix it, or... Is it fix it right away? You know what I mean?
Right away is a week is right away.
That's what
I'm saying,
like a week.
Yeah, right away.
No, but if you
right away. You call a person, doesn't always come immediately unless it's
right,
something
then,
urgent
yeah.
like breaking into the house or the boiler blew up, so of course they come immediately they come the next day, they'll come the next 2 days.
We had in the 2 years ago, not this past snowstorm, but the snowstorm before this or even before that. It was leaking from underneath, like water was coming up from the floor.
Gosh.
So I'm calling, like, you know, you gotta fix it, but it's still raining out. She's like, you can't fix it until the rain stops. Until the snow stops.
Right.
And then we can fix it. I'm like taking buckets and just, you know, blowing feet of water, like inside the apartment.
Yeah, Yosef also had that now in the new apartment that they had. Also, they had the water was pouring in. It was the first winter of the apartment. It's a new apartment. So the owner lives above me. He said, we have to wait. What can we do? What can I do? To wait until it dries up a little bit, and then the guy can come fix it. Yeah, that's considered easy. I mean, what else can you do? You know, set up.
We had a busted water pipe on Friday. The plumber didn't come until Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. I and also had two pipes busted in my own apartment in Spat.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't pay personally, but the insurance paid for it. But they didn't come the next day. It came a week later. That's a normal thing. Immediately, I called them. What could I do? That's the most
and,
I could do.
And we lost thousands of dollars, and we had to throw out all our sheets and everything.
And my last thought, it's not a responsibility of the owner. If he did, most he could do. If he's a lazy guy, doesn't do his job, it's a different story. So, now, if the Dut Shemesh broke, the landlord is not responsible for fixing it if there's still a boiler, electricity boiler. Yeah, but if the boiler broke, okay, then he has to fix it immediately or give him some other source of hot, taking shower and hot, taking a hot shower. Because today it's normal to have a hot shower at home, so that's a normal thing to do. Maybe 50 years ago it wasn't so regular, but now it's not regular. Yeah. If someone is a landlord and he knows that the neighbors in the area are planning on building, he has to inform the renters before he rents it out that there's going to be shiputzim around there. Yeah.
That matters. Any renter, even non-Jew, right?
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, of course. If a person rented an apartment, and during the time the owner says, "Listen, I want to do shiputzim on the apartment." Right? He could say no. Sorry, no. Wait till the contract's over.
Right.
Or, you know what? Fine, but give me less rent. I can't. I don't want to do this. Okay. Yeah. The renter is not allowed to leave the apartment before the end. Right? Before the end of the contract, unless it's some honest happened to him. Okay, and he had to leave. And it's written in the contract that if something happens, something mamash crazy happens. So. And if he did not agree on anything like that, he's responsible to bring different renters to live there or continue paying until the end of the contract. But if he brings other people, he has to be people which the landlord agrees to rent the house, obviously, yeah, out to. Now, if it says in the contract that the renter is allowed to leave as long as he tells the landlord 2 months before, let's say, or 3 months before, in the middle of the contract. The contract is until this, and you're allowed to leave if you tell me 3 months before. And after and he left, right? And the landlord did not find other people to rent the apartment. Tough luck. The renter is not responsible. Now, if you want to rent out the apartment that you're renting, happen to subleasing is called?
Yeah. You're renting an apartment and
you're going down to America, yeah. Right? For Pesach, I told the couples you do. Yeah. And they say, why not get back a little bit, some of the rent of the year?
Yeah.
At least 2 months back, right? They make out 1 month, make out 2 months. So, they have to ask permission from the landlord.
Right.
If the landlord doesn't let, they can't do that. Okay? And if they didn't let and they did it, and they made profit of it, the profit belongs to the renter. To the landlord, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
What about guests?
You're allowed to have guests. It's a normal thing. Shabbos, a week even, and then by, yeah.
Even if you're not there.
Even if you're not there.
As long as you're not charging.
Right. Yeah. Wow, interesting. Chozes, I'm going to read this. It's really interesting. It's getting interesting. Chozes chirut, when there's a contract, a rental contract, right? Nitan leosif bo seif hamakne zchut lasocher. You could add a seif, a paragraph that gives a zchut for the renter to continue living there beyond the time.
You've extended.
Yeah, extended, right? And that only he could continue it. And let's say the guy wants to rent out the apartment now. You can't. You have to ask me if I want to leave. Even if he wants to, the landlord wants to move in. First, he'll ask me if I want to leave. And then if I leave, you could come in. But you can't throw me out. Right? Until, 2 years or whatever. 3 years, yeah? The contract is for a year. But after that year, you ask me if I want to continue or not. It's called option. Optia.
Okay. It's the standard in most contracts anywhere.
Yeah, but some places it's a yearly contract and then it's over.
From a Baldira standpoint, you want the person, and if you find a good person, you want it to continue because you need money if your place isn't rented for a month.
Right.
So you always want that. No problem.
Right.
Okay. If you want to stay another year, then sign another contract. You stay another year.
Nachon mod. Nachon. Sometimes, yeah, depends on the circumstance. Sometimes the person he's chutz la'aretz for a year.
Is this the
Brit Hashalom, Brit Tokayir? Brit Hashalom will be starting in 5 minutes. In a few minutes we're going to go into Brit.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay. Usually, if there's an option to lengthen the rent, we're talking about laws of contracts. Yeah. So usually, you leave the price the same that it was, unless it says otherwise. Unless it says otherwise. Doesn't say otherwise, you continue the what it was. Okay. Now, a person, the landlord is allowed to sell the apartment. During the time that he's renting out his apartment, just it says that he won't be able to get rid of the person until the end of the option that he has of there. Right? If he has an option until 3 years, let's say, you can sell the apartment whenever you want. So you have to understand that you can't. And a lot of times it's like that. Many people that I know, they sell their. I had friends and neighbors that they sold their apartment, okay, but they couldn't really sell it. Right. They sold it, but they couldn't give it on to the next people until a year later. Why? Because that was the contract with the. I spoke to tenants, it's called, people living, the people renting in my own apartment. So I told them maybe I want to sell and this, and we didn't write another contract for the new year. So she called me, she said, "But please don't throw us out before the end of the year." No, of course. Kilo, I have a contract because I trust them. Really, we should write a contract. If they're not around, they're far away from me.
They sell it already? You've only had it a few years.
If I can make 300,000 shekels off of it in 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, why not? Why not? Buy something else, you know? Real estate is a good business. Usually it's a good business. Top. יפה מאוד. A few more הלכות. Yeah, we're almost finished. Now, if the renter wants to leave the apartment to end the contract, he doesn't have to tell the owner I'm leaving the apartment. He leaves, unless it says otherwise. I wrote in my contract, and if you want to leave at the end of the contract, you have to inform me 2 months before. And if you don't inform me, you can't leave until 2 months later. You can leave whenever you want. We have to continue paying. You know, because so you have an option to find other people. Two months. Okay. Yeah, if there's any damage that happens, of course, you can't leave, or any debts in the apartment, the renter can't just leave the apartment. He has to pay all the debts that's in the apartment. Stam, good advice to everyone. When you rent out an apartment, they should transfer, if you have an apartment, your landlord, and you rent out an apartment, transfer all the bills under their names. Water bill, they're in Nain. Oh, no, not they're in Nain. Everything, because then when they move, it all goes, the debts continue with them. They don't stay on the apartment, not on the thing. Like it happened to me, some of the things weren't under people who lived in the apartment previously. And suddenly my account was, I didn't even know about it, they took my account. What is it called? Yitzavikur. They
canceled the service.
They closed my account. I couldn't take money out of my account.
Oh.
The bank. What?
Your bank account.
Yeah, to my bank account. I didn't know what to do. I didn't understand why. I called, who did this? Oh, the water in your spot, whatever. What? Then I understood that it was under my name because I owned the place. So. Okay. If stuff, normal things happen to the apartment, paint, peel the normal way, kilo, whatever, stuff like that. The furniture, there's furniture, and it was regularly used, and a little bit like this, a little bit like that. So fine, the renter doesn't have to pay for that. That's a normal use. That's what, by the way, people, they rent out the apartment with furniture, they charge more, because they know there's things that happen to things. Okay. Yeah. If there was anything was written in the contract, even though it's odd, it's weird, you have to fulfill it. It says in there that every 3 months you have to paint the apartment. That's what you have to do. It says there, okay? So you have to clean the house with Pesach, you have to clean the house with Pesach. That's what it says. Clean the house with Pesach. Well, whatever it's in the contract, you gotta do. Okay? There's no normal thing. You wrote a contract, whatever you wrote it. Come on. There's no. Okay. So. Now we're talking about when someone calls a taxi. There's also laws when someone calls a taxi. The laws is everywhere. So, המזמין מונית ואמר לזמן שבא מיד וחרה. Now, someone ordered the taxi. He called the place. He ordered the taxi. Not, he doesn't stop on the street. He called the place. They're sending him a taxi. How long? Doesn't immediately. Chick-chuck. Okay? And it's more than the normal time. What's a normal time in Yerushalayim? 7 minutes. Something like that? I don't know. What, in Yerushalayim, maybe 7 minutes. Okay? He could go and take another taxi. Shalom, record to. What?
Without telling them? If he says, okay, I'm on the corner bar lunch, we'll not be.
Yamano. Call to Shalom. You don't have to wait for him. It's his own problem.
If it's more than amount of time.
Okay, more than normal.
If he tells you, though, if he says it's 20 minutes.
No, if he tells you, he tells you. But if he tells you immediately, you're 5 minutes. And you waited another 10 minutes after the 5 minutes, you don't have to wait for him more. They should call you or they should inform you. Sometimes I ordered the taxi and they said, what's your number? The driver is going to call you.
Right.
That's a different story. The driver is going to call you. Usually when you do like long trips, so they send a specific driver who's going to a long trip.
So specifically, you only have to wait, what, you say 7 minutes, something like that?
Yerushalayim, it's probably something like that, most companies. Oh. If it doesn't show up, call a different company or just stop one on the corner.
Is that the same with if you're taking a taxi or the shirut to the airport, where you make arrangements?
No, shirut to the airport, you know it's approximate. It's not a private. It's not a private. It's not your own private ride. You know it's approximate. The shirut comes in this half an hour. It will come. It won't come later than a half an hour because you have a plane to catch. Okay, but it's more or less. I'm talking about a private taxi. Okay? Now, if the taxi came immediately and the guy didn't show up, so he's allowed to start the meter and you're going to pay for it. And you can't come and say, oh, why is the meter running? Why is it running? Because you weren't running. So the meter was running instead. So it's 10 minutes it was running, so it's another 15 shekels. Tough luck. You can't tell the guy, no, you wasted his time. You have to pay for his time. He would have done something else. Yeah. Now, if you order the taxi, you can't go now and take a different taxi. I remember once, I was standing in the junction on the bottom of Miron. I was going from Miron to Tzfat, Motzei Shabbat, after I was in a tent and everything, with my family, with my kids and everything, and we had a lot of luggage, with 3 or 4 kids, I think. I had 4 kids already. And I told my wife, we'll hitchhike, we'll call a taxi. 70 shekels, no big deal, not a big story. Yeah. So he called me, he ordered the taxi. We finished ordering. A minibus stops by us. You want to ride? It's fine. So what do we do now? Tell my wife Asu. He ordered a taxi. He's on his way. He's wasting gas. He's wasting time. Right. He can't take it. So I was surprised to see, but I learned from this. A person has to have a Muna and Hashem. Hashem will send him his ride. What do you need a taxi? You stand by the place. Hashem will send you your ride. You have enough emuna? Rav Alush used to go to Bnei Brak. When he lived in Bnei Brak, he used to go to Yerushalayim. He used to go to the taxi service in Yerushalayim. There's a service over there in Bnei Brak. Without any money. With his family, with his wife, with his children, when they were little. Without any money, just to show that Hashem provides. And the people used to, taxis used to come. Ah, shalom, bo. And he used to take him to Yerushalayim all the time without any money. He used to go. And also someone told me that he was with Rav Alush many years ago outside the Kotel right after Shabbos. In those days there was no Eged for free after Shabbos like today they have.
They don't have it.
No, finished?
No,
they used to have.
They never had it. People thought it was, but the Eged said they wasn't. Recently, they said there's no
loads of
Shabbos free rides.
But they used to be. Not really. How did you let everyone on there? Is that
insane? Because they assume you would pay it afterwards.
I don't assume they would pay. So you can go on the bus if you want. Just don't forget to pay.
No, you can't now. You have to have money or a ticket. You know, or a
rough. So walk.
Right.
It's not nice. It's not Jewish. Anyways, so we used to stand at the. So someone told me he was with Rav Alush, was waiting. So he's looking at Rav Alush. Rav Alush is not putting out his hand like you know it's normal. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Don't worry, a car will come and take us home." So they're waiting for a few minutes. A car stops. Rav Shalom, what the goodness, takes him all the way to his house. To see Bitachon and Hashem, trust Hashem. Also, by the way, another story about Rav Alush that about Bitachon that he used to. I didn't hear it from him, I heard it from a student of his. Someone said that he used to tell his wife, "Don't prepare Shabbos." "What? Don't prepare Shabbos? The food will come ready made to our house. You'll see." And she was all nervous. The last moment, food came to the house. Ready made food. And if I already said a story, I'll say another story. Not about that, I was different tzaddik here in Yerushalayim. That he used to be, he got married and. So he was the milkman. In those days, there was a milkman. He used to walk around with big bottles, and the ladies used to leave their vessel outside their house. And then early in the morning, he used to go and fill it up, and then they left money there. It was all because of. And then one day, he would go with a horse and wagon, or a bike he had, or something. Kitsu, he had a car accident. He was severely wounded, and when he got recovered afterwards, he said, "What did Hashem want from me? What does Hashem want from me?" And he decided, "Hashem wants from me. I have to serve Hashem. I don't have to work. Well, why do I have to work? He has to work for me. I don't have to work for him. I have to serve him, and he has to support me." And he decided he had a certain shul right across from the house, and he sat and learned. And day to night, nights and days, all the time. So, a few weeks passed, and there was no food in the house. There was less and less until there was a mashna food, and then there was a day there was no food. The kids were hungry and crying. So it was night time. The kids are mash, his little children. His wife goes to the shul and says, "Listen, I know you're a tzaddik and everything, but the kids need to eat. Go bring bread. You're the husband. You signed the ksuba. You can go bring bread. Don't worry. Hashem will help us. You'll see that the food will come." So she was mitchazek with emunah, bitachon, also fine. She was calm. She went home. A few hours passed. The kids are crying. Oh, bread. So it's like today to be poor. It's a month that nothing. The house was empty. So she went again. "You can't do this. It's sure. You have to go bring food. The kids are starving. You want them to die? Your kids are dying. You don't care." So he mitchazek her again. He went to sleep, he couldn't fall asleep, he was crying. A few hours passed. She goes again. He said, "Listen, the mash, I see they're very weak. They're hardly even crying anymore. It's not a joke. You go there." "So this is the situation, so we have to start davening." So he takes that to Hillel And he's saying to him, he's crying, saying to him, and his wife's at home saying to him, Ramaj, he's staying until the middle of the night, like 1:30 in the morning. He doesn't know what's going on. She's at home saying to him, there was a knock on the door in the middle of the night. These two delivery people, the delivery company, like UPS they have today, like that, came with a big cart full of food. This is what is this? We came, this is from America. Someone sent this for you. Your name is this and this? Yeah, your husband is this? Yeah. This is from America for you. A package someone sent for you. And we have to deliver it this day. And we're leaving. The ship is leaving. So we have to give it to you immediately. That's why we came in the middle now. We're sorry. Sign here that you took it. You sure? Us? Yeah, yeah. Here, look. She showed him black and white. They showed her. It says their name in English. Is it? It's theirs. So, fine, thank you. All kinds of foods in there. Kosher, korefet. From America. American food. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, I don't know how many years ago. She goes to her husband, you have any relatives in America? No. You know anyone? No, I don't know anyone. I don't know, we got this thing. Maybe it's not ours, let's see. I don't know, maybe they made a mistake. We can't steal. So they check and they see. So he told her, you see, it wasn't delivery from America. It was delivery direct from Shamayim for our kids. They have food and they have it to eat. It was fantastic. And afterwards, something worked out that she got a little job, whatever. Something worked out that he was able to continue his whole life. He was sitting and just learning and teaching and just serving Hashem. So, of course, everyone should take it to his own level and his own proportion where he's up to. But it definitely could teach us that we don't have to extra do it. Even if we are in the level that we need to work because that's our level, we're not in the, like this big tzaddik that we're talking about. But to take it personally to our place, that Hashem is supporting us, of course. Okay? And that means I don't have to do extra than what I'm doing. Oh, I'm going to do a few more hours a week and then I'm going to have more money. That's already, you're living this world. That's not right. It's shekel. You do your work, whatever you're used to doing. Very good. And Hashem will support you, whatever you need. Not to do more than what you need to do. That's already lying to yourself. And it's not true. So, Baruch Hashem. A few more halachot. I wanted to finish this. Okay. Now, if someone hired a taxi, and there's a set, right? Let's say he's hired from. Hired, did you say in English?
Yeah.
From what?
Hired a taxi to come get you.
So from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, it's 70 kilometers, let's say, and it costs a set amount. But on the way, there was such a car accident, Chas Hashanah, that was working on the road. It was such a pkak, such a traffic jam. Oh my gosh. Chaval al azman. It took him, instead of 1 hour to Tel Aviv, it took them 3 hours. But they had a set amount. So the driver, tough luck on the driver, Emelas, but he can charge him more. Oh, I didn't know there'll be a tax. So why do I have to pay? Because there was a set. That's your job. Sometimes you have situations like that. What can you do? Ken?
But it's the meter, tough luck on.
Exactly. Right. Or if he told him, listen, if it takes an hour, this will be the price. If it takes longer, I'm not, it's going to be on you. So then, of course, yeah.
Talking a few times, coming back from work.
Now, 2 hours. If a person rented, he hired a taxi, he told, take me to Chol. Take me to Chov Yafo in the days that they were able to drive in Yafo. Take me from Tel Aviv to Chov Yafo in Yerushalayim. So when he enters the city, he can get off. What get off? I need the number, whatever, which is on the other end. I'm sorry. You said Chov Yafo. He didn't say Chov Yafo 100. So Chov Yafo, get off and take another taxi if you want. I'll take you there, another 20 seconds.
The driver can tell him to get off.
What?
The driver can say.
Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't tell him a specific ktovet, specific address, he doesn't have to take him all the way there.
And if the driver can't find it, it's on the driver's lot.
I see, yeah. Okay. Now, if someone rented. Oh, this happened to me in Uman. Someone hired a taxi, 4 or 5 people, they hired a taxi. Now one of the guys decided that he's not coming back. Back and forth, okay? So you're allowed to bring someone else to Mbaya. or you have a set price, had a set price for the taxi. This is the price, and this is the amount of seats that we have. Yeah? So, I hired the taxi. Now, I can do whatever I want with it. I'll pay him, the guy, and then I'll charge the other people a couple of dollars more. And then pay my fee. And buy, yeah, it's not the buy, yeah. Kitzel. Yofi, that's the end of the halachot, of schirut, now it's Rifi Shalom.